Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our buddy Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are you doing this morning?
We are doing great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Charles, so the Titans offensive line, which has just been a special level of bad all year long, gets Will Levis hurt on Sunday against Houston. They give up 7 sacks, 11 quarterback hits, can't run the ball. Derrick Henry averaged 0.6 yards per carry, which I don't remember ever happening before in his career, but I'm sure it has come close to that at some point. And now it looks like if Levis can't play Sunday, Ryan Tannehill is going to be the quarterback. I'm curious from your view, kind of looking into this thing, what do you think the market is going to be like for Tannehill once they get to the offseason and you kind of evaluate what's out there? Do you think he could be a starter somewhere? Is he a bridge quarterback? Is he a high-level backup? How do you view the Tannehill situation right now?
Well, let's see if he gets back in the saddle. You know, let's see if he can show how healthy he is. Obviously, he's been out since effectively being replaced, you know, early in the season because of the injury. But, you know, I look at Joe Flacco in Cleveland, and I think that if anything, it proves to others that a guy like Tannehill still has value. I don't know that you necessarily look at Ryan Tannehill going into this offseason. I think he's going to turn 36 this summer and say, you know, hey, that's a guy that we want to hang our hat on. But I could see him being an option in terms of, you know, backup depth, experience, and then knowing that, you know, let's see what happens in training camp, depending on what other quarterbacks are on the roster. For an NFL team, but let's see how he finishes the season. I mean, if the Ryan Tannehill we saw early in the season, and again, you mentioned the offensive line, it's not like those problems won't still be there if he does end up getting the starting nod. It's going to be a situation similar to earlier in the season. So if he finishes the way he started the year, you know, it's going to be significantly diminished value for Ryan Tannehill. But to me, you know, the potential to have this opportunity, he can showcase himself for other teams out there. I think the thing about Tannehill that's good is that he's played in a couple of different systems. He's got some, I think, flexibility in terms of, you know, he's like Flacco's dead in the water. I mean, he's not able to run. He's always had heavy feet, but I mean, that has really, really got bad at this point in his career. I have to believe that if Tannehill's 100% healthy and I have to choose between he and Joe Flacco, I probably lean into Tannehill. And he frankly works with, I would think, more quarterbacks, how you want to stylistically run an offense. There just aren't a lot of offenses where it's like, okay, we're going to bring in Joe Flacco. He's limited. He's going to win from the pocket, but that's pretty much all he can do. I would think Tannehill still can offer you a little more scheme flexibility. But, you know, at this point, clearly not a long-term starter for anybody. Clearly, at best, I would think for Ryan Tannehill, maybe he gets an opportunity to go into a camp, you know, fight out, you know, training camp and become a bridge starter in 2024. I don't think that's what any team would want to be looking for at this stage, but there's definitely a lot of value at the backup quarterback position around the league. Look at what happened with the Jets this year. I think every single contender to me going into the next rotation next year has to look at the Jets and go, let's just not put ourselves in that situation. Let's allocate, you know, $3-5 million. Look at Gardner Minshew in Indianapolis. Let's allocate enough money to make sure that we have a guy there in case our starter goes down. And it's interesting because I've even had careful how I say this, but you know, there were some backup quarterback situations that developed over the course of the season. And I even had a couple of people from different teams who reached out and were like, do you know why we didn't spend a little more money to secure a solid backup so we're not in this situation? Because they got into a corner where they just didn't have experience when the starter became injured, and it potentially jeopardized their ability to stay in a playoff race. So, you know, I think you'll see teams that will be considered in contention next year. I think they'll hunt solid backup options maybe a little more aggressively than what happened this last offseason.
The one place that I think is a natural potentially for Ryan Tannehill would be Atlanta with Arthur Smith.
Sure.
That's presuming
right.
Arthur Smith is everybody back.
Will. Yeah.
But
okay.
Yeah, there's that. But also I would also look at like a Justin Fields it could be enticing if the Bears are going to move on and they're going to take one of these guys at the top. How do you see that playing out? What is the Fields, you know, situation, the market? How much is that going to dictate a lot of other things?
Well, Arthur Smith is definitely, there's zero doubt in my mind he's coaching for his job at this point in Atlanta, because Arthur Blank gets asked, the owner there gets asked about Arthur Smith, and he says, you know, we're committed, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically says, we're committed to Arthur Smith for the rest of these games. And you're like, all right, well, that's about
committed
like, you
this
know,
week.
Pretty, yeah, exactly. We're clearly sent a message that Arthur Smith is going to be measured, you know, to the end of the season. He did not get the sort of stamp of approval that, hey, we're happy and, you know, we expect Arthur Smith back in 2024. And Arthur Blank had the opportunity to say that. And you can understand why. I mean, they, you know, to really commit yourself to Desmond Ridder the way that they did, and I think sell ownership on it, and then for ownership to see a lot of the limitations that he brings to the table, especially when there are other elements of that offense that, look, Bijan Robinson, I understand he's a rookie, but I think everybody agrees that you can get more out of him as a player. You know, I think Kyle Pitts, you're starting to see, now there's been injuries there, but you're certainly starting to see that there is a higher ceiling than what's been achieved. Obviously, Drake London. And I think, you know, from the ownership layer, there's a question of, do we have the quarterback that can unlock some of the talent that we already have on the roster? And how much does that reflect on Arthur at this point? So, you know, you brought up Fields. That's an interesting thing. I did a piece on Fields last week where I reached out to as many GMs as I could get, basically asking, what's the trade value of this guy? Where could he end up if he is traded? And then sort of, the tailing question was like, would you do it? Would you trade him? Would you draft Caleb number one overall, Caleb Williams, or would you stick with Fields? And for the piece, I got seven GMs who responded but then like all these guys afterward, like a day, two, 3 days later, people were like trickling in with their assessments. I ended up getting 13 GMs. And interestingly enough, it was 11 to 2 were in favor of trading Fields, drafting Caleb. All of them said that the value was probably somewhere in the range of like a second rounder with some qualifiers, you know, or like a third and a fifth. And there was no first round value. It was all sort of, you know, hey, maybe it's a second rounder or a third rounder that elevates into a second, all these different things. So I think the big takeaway though was that you don't have a lot of GMs sitting there staring at him going, yeah, that's a first round pick. Now he's had enough of a progression to warrant that in a deal. When I asked where, it was interesting because obviously Atlanta, because of the offense that Arthur Smith runs, a lot of RPOs, it was such a natural sort of destination that a lot of people looked at, including the need and the scheme that is run there. And so a lot of people were pointing at Atlanta, but also quite a few said, look, the Philly offense is where he needs to be. He's not going to be in Philly. He's not going to be in Indy where Shane Steichen runs that offense. But if Brian Johnson, the OC, were to leave and get a job, that's a place that a lot of people would point their finger. Unfortunately, you know, I think the offensive struggles have probably taken the bloom off him a little bit. Maybe he won't be in the next rotation. We'll see again how the season finishes. But, yeah, I think Atlanta is certainly a possible destination for Fields. If Arthur were to remain, I would think that Ryan Tannehill would be a natural sort of addition there as an experienced backup. And I would even think if you went and got Fields, there would be some thought put into maybe we need to bring in Ryan too, because this is a guy that can be a quality backup, can help in a support role. If Fields were to get hurt, you know, we have an experienced guy who can step in and start for us. I just don't know if Arthur's actually going to make it. And Atlanta seems like a pretty tight spot for him right now. But, yeah, if he's employed or if he's anywhere, let's say, as an OC next offseason or next season, I think that's a place that I would be looking at for Tannehill as well.
We'll have more with Charles Robinson with Yahoo Sports coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We continue our conversation with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. So, Charles, we've talked with you about the MVP race. Dak Prescott putting up some gaudy numbers this year, and then they go out and just get absolutely shelled by Buffalo last weekend. How do you view where the MVP race currently stands? How much of a chance would you give maybe a Brock Purdy to win it? How do you view kind of the MVP race that's been really interesting to monitor this year as it's kind of shifted up and down?
Yeah, I think it's solidified, you know, going into the last three games of the season. I think you're really looking at Dak Prescott, Brock Purdy, and then Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. And I think it's interesting when you look at their schedule. You know, Dallas has got Miami and Detroit are going to two really big games, obviously, for the Cowboys. And you still have potentially the top seed available, you know, to make a run at, depending on how San Francisco finishes out in the NFC. San Francisco's got Baltimore and the Rams. Both Dallas and San Francisco have Washington as well on their schedule. Baltimore is really the one that, you know, they've got an opportunity to be that one seed. San Francisco, Miami, and Pittsburgh to finish out the season. That San Francisco game is going to be a monster on Christmas. Everybody's going to be watching that because it feels like a Super Bowl preview between those two teams. You know, look, Miami's going to be fighting for playoff positioning. I think that's a New Year's Eve game. And then New Year's Eve day game. And then Pittsburgh to close out the season is interesting because, you know, look, the Steelers are 7-7 right now. I think they're going to want to obviously finish the season out strong. There's a lot of criticism right now for Mike Tomlin. It's going to be a big game for them, even if they're not necessarily in playoff contention at that point. So I would say out of the three, you know, Lamar Jackson's got an opportunity to really showcase himself in the next three. And a lot of people are going to look at that San Francisco game on Christmas and say, like, hey, is this where the MVP ultimately gets seized between these three guys? You know, remains to be seen. I have a vote, so I have an AP vote. I can't say who I intend to vote for in the MVP race, but I will say that.
Hey, no one's listening. You can say it.
Yeah, between those three, I don't know at this point, and I'm definitely going to be reaching out to, you know, people across the league who have faced them and just say, hey, help me split this up between these three, and what should I be leaning into in this particular vote? It's that close, I think, between the trio. One thing I'm curious about, I ask you guys this. So we've changed the format of how we vote for MVP now. Now it's Heisman ballot style where you basically list, you know, like your top five, right? And so this year I do think we're going to see where in the past it's always been like, you know, you see quarterbacks will win it unanimously, or you'll see a couple of quarterbacks will split up some votes, and maybe there will be one or two outliers who snag a vote. I do think you're going to see Tyreek Hill will be a guy who gets votes in the process. I think Christian McCaffrey will be another player who gets votes in the process. I'm curious what you guys think about that format, and then also, are you like me where you just sort of think at this stage, I almost feel like there should be a quarterback MVP, and then maybe, I mean, offensive player of the year has sort of become the not quarterback MVP of the league. I feel like it's whoever is the best skill position player often ends up winning offensive player of the year. And do you guys have like a problem with that? I feel like the league has turned into a quarterback league. So of course the MVP award is a quarterback award. Whereas in the past 20 years ago, it was very much a running back league. Like, you know, you'd have these dominant running backs who were capable of winning MVP. you know, whether it was like an Emmett Smith or a LaDainian Tomlinson or whoever, because it was a league where, you know, offenses were so heavily predicated on the running back position. I don't have a problem that it's become a quarterback league, but you do continue to hear this complaint from players where it's like, you know, well, geez, nobody but a quarterback can ever win the MVP. And I get it, but that's sort of where the league is. Are you guys okay with that? And what do you think of the voting?
Well, I think the format's fine, but it's, you know, and by the way, that thorough checking with people, I think that's what every Heisman voter does too. People clearly really dig in on that and do their homework and vote for, you know, Blake Corum to win the Blake Heisman Corum. Or whatever the hell, J.J. McCarthy. Now, I think, first of all, I think it's so stupid that we've ever in the NFL had two defensive players win the MVP, LT and Alan Page. I mean, it's just like the same thing with the Heisman. It should have been a Dominique Sue in 2009. I voted him first. No one else. He was even on most ballots, which is just absurd. Like, mm-hmm. Aaron Donald should have an MVP by now, to me. So I just think that all of you who vote should stop being idiots and just voting for quarterbacks, okay? I mean, it's not – like, this is a great year for a non-quarterback to win. I think Lamar Jackson's the MVP, but this would be a great year. I know. This would be a great year for a non-quarterback to win it. Like, Tyreek Hill or McCaffrey, I'd love to see that. So just do
–
just do the right thing, Charles. Lead the charge, okay?
Well, okay, Tyreek Hill, though. Here's my thing with Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill went down, and they were still able to win a game. And not only that, Jaylen Waddle was, like, able to step into that role. It's not a one-for-one. But, you know, it's hard for me to vote for someone to be an MVP when he goes down and the team still is able to win games. I'm like,
the Tennessee game was a stark contrast of their offense with and without him.
Yeah. But also, I would say there's a certain functionality when it comes to Tyreek Hill where, you know, how much of his dependency is on how that scheme is run. And Tua, like, if we're going to sit here and call, you know, Brock Purdy a game manager, you're going to tell me that Tyreek Hill, like, I'm not saying Tyreek Hill is like a game manager or anything, but clearly they lean that entire scheme into, you know, him getting opportunities. And, like, it's just what if Tua has a down game? Doesn't that functionally erase Tyreek Hill? How can he be the MVP of a team when his success is so heavily predicated on whether or not the quarterback plays well? I think that's part of why, to me, it's such a quarterback award now, is because it's an easy line to draw straight to the quarterback. You know, a lot of skill position guys. And you could argue with McCaffrey, too, actually. He is almost like a quarterback where, you know, obviously you worry about the line and there are other factors that affect his skill, but he's an every down back. He blocks, he receives, he runs. He's almost like a quarterback in that you can draw a pretty straight line and go, a lot of his success, you see how it's predicated just on him. Put the ball in his hands, see what he can do with it, and it's easy to get him the ball. Whereas Tyreek Hill, it's like, well, you know, he's a great player, but, you know, you can scheme to ultimately shut him out. It's harder to scheme. You know, quarterbacks touch the ball, you know, 50, 60, you know, sometimes 70 times a game. They're always going to get their opportunities. There's a lot that goes into this, honestly, and I'm really, really curious to hear how people view the field this year. The defensive thing, I think, is really interesting, and Donald, certainly, when he was, you know, really playing at the highest level, certainly to me, he could have gotten MVP votes. And one of the things, the stories you don't really hear is, like, you know, I was talking to somebody with the Rams once about Aaron Donald, and they told me, like, look, when he retires, we are going to have to change our entire defense. Like, that's how good of a player he is. And, like, you don't understand. We're not replacing him. We're starting over completely because everything we do on defense is 100% built around him. And once that changes, we could completely change schemes because of one person not being in there. You don't hear that a lot, and that's probably why a defensive player doesn't get MVP votes. But that's like LT type stuff.
Yeah. All right. Here's a heck of a segue. Real quick, someone not getting MVP votes would be Jalen Hurts this year. Actually, AJ Brown, I thought at one point this year might have been in a discussion too. It looks like a bleep show right now. Where the heck is that going?
Well, I know a lot of people are hammering Nick Sirianni, the head coach right now, about the whole Well, geez, late in the game, we could draw a pass interference penalty, and that's why maybe this ball gets put where it gets put. I do think there's an element of, you see Nick Sirianni protecting Jalen Hurts a little bit there. Hurts is not playing, I think, at his best level right now. I think really, though, across the board, the Eagles have a lot of problems, and it's not just Hurts, the defense. Obviously, Matt Patricia, what a weird situation for Sean Desai to effectively be taken out of the defensive coordinator position, but not continuing to call him the defensive coordinator, even though now Matt Patricia is shaping the scheme. He's calling the scheme for them on the sideline. He's the defensive coordinator for the Eagles at this point. Just, they're struggling, I think, on both sides of the ball. I defensively, I will tell you this. You do get a window into how the Eagles function with their coaching staff. There's a reason why Doug Peterson's not there, and it was because they wanted him to have pliability with his assistants. Like, hey, let's listen to the GM and the owner when it comes to making changes. Doug Peterson's like, yeah, not going to do that anymore. I want a Super Bowl for you guys. And they're like, well, then we're going to have to part company. That's why Nick Sirianni's there now. They wanted pliability with coaches. I think that's how you have Matt Patricia's situation bubble up the way it did late in the season. And so really it's, both sides of the ball are struggling. And, Hurts, I'll tell you what, think of all those major contract extensions signed last offseason. Burrow, man, injury. Herbert, oof, not gone well. Hurts, geez, we're struggling right now. I mean, other than maybe like Lamar Jackson, all those big monster contract extensions, he's probably the one guy right now who's really making the team feel great about having extended him. But yeah, the Eagles are there. There's no doubt they're very, very vulnerable. But the place I would look, not Hurts, I'd look at that defense. I think the one thing you're going to see, they can't stop teams that can run the football. And there are a lot of teams in the NFC that can run the football. And I think you're going to see them run into somebody in the playoffs who's going to tear them up running the football. And just, you're going to see an offseason that's going to be pretty interesting in terms of what they need to do to retool a little bit on the defensive side of the ball.
Charles Robinson, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. Charles, Merry Christmas. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely, gentlemen. Have a good one.
Absolutely. You as well. We'll react to what Charles had to say. Take your thoughts. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Make your silly underdog picks today for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Thursday morning. Got some tickets to give away to see the Music City Bowl, the Transperfect Music City Bowl, as Auburn takes on Maryland at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, December 30th. The caller 3-615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Auburn take on Maryland at Nissan Stadium coming up on Saturday, December 30th, the Transperfect Music City Bowl. Hugh Freeze in action. I think Rex Road said the fork tongue.
The fork tongue of Hugh Freeze.
You can see that. Live and in person at Nissan Stadium on December 30th.
Yes.
Everybody My looking goodness. Forward to it, Joe.
That guy, I tell you what, is he a smooth talker?
He is. There's no doubt about it.
A couple things on the tech side I'd like to address, Robbie.
Okay.
Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One, Lester gets all mad at me. He says, gee, Joe, you know, a lot of whining about Harbaugh and McCorum and McCarthy and Michigan. Sounds like you need some Wisconsin cheese to go with your Sparty wine. Well, look, first of all, I gave Harbaugh respect, actually, and earlier someone got mad at me the other way and was like, they're only in the playoff because of Connor Stallions. And I was like, well, they have a good team. Like, I think Michigan-Alabama is going to be a good game. I don't think Connor Stallions is going to have a role in that. So,
although he might. That guy's stealthy. You never know.
That is true. That is true. Two things can be true. They can be cheaters, and they can also be good. They are good. And all I'm saying about McCarthy and Corum is if you have a Heisman vote, I promise you those Heisman votes came from, like, Michigan fans who are media people who have Heisman votes who voted for Michigan players. They shouldn't have votes. If I voted for, Joe Milton this year, as a Homer Tennessee media person with a Heisman vote, I should have my vote stripped too. I mean, come on.
I think you only had him third, right? He was third on your ballot?
Exactly. I mean, yeah. I bumped him down to second because Jalen Wright had too good of a season to, you know, he had to be second. So, yeah. I mean, come on. It's just crap. And all this stuff, just like what Charles is talking about. I mean, look, he's right about, like, when it comes down to it, if you really dig in on, like, the importance of a particular player, you can take a player out of a game, even a Tyreek Hill, like last week. Tua, who some people think sucks, lit it up with Jalen Waddle and the other guys and didn't have Tyreek Hill. And so that's like, well, how could he be MVP? But, man, I just really especially defensive players. Like this year, had the Cowboys been as good defensively as they looked early, like Micah Parsons maybe could be a guy at some point who could be a candidate, right?
Yeah.
But it'll be a quarterback. Also, a ton of people, Robbie, are asking about Tannehill. If he's just going to be a backup, this is kind of off what Charles said. If he's just going to be a backup, why not come here? I get the sentiment, but, like, I'm just telling you, he's not going to be here. Because what the Titans have here now is they have the young established. They've got their guy for the future, and he's going to be the guy. If you're someone like Tannehill, it's like kind of like Mariota. You could have made the case for Mariota too. Why not just be the back? You're going to be a backup. Well, at that point, he's still trying to look around and be a starter. And Tannehill, even though he's a lot older now than Mariota was then, is in that position too. It's possible for him to be a starter in this league, and it's at least possible to be a backup in a place where you'd have a better opportunity to maybe get in there and start and show you can still be a starter. That place is not here. So I'm not.
Well, he probably wants to move on himself, right? Like, it's.
Yes.
Sometimes you reach the end of a road somewhere and you're like, all right, it's best for everybody to just go ahead and move on.
Exactly. So he's going to move on. Like, I put it at 99.99%. I understand the idea, but right now Ryan Tannehill is not like, well, I'm just going to be a backup, so hey, I'll just stay here. He's not thinking that. He's thinking, I'm good enough to start. I shouldn't have lost my job here. I can go win as a starting quarterback in the NFL, and I'm going to find that place. Whether you believe him or not.
Right, that's the thing. Like, what you think of it, I think a lot of people think the idea of him being a starting quarterback next year is a little bit ludicrous. I don't think that. Like, I think the right spot, he could still be an effective player. The Arthur Smith part of this is really interesting because clearly that's a natural fit with Tannehill and Smith. But it does kind of feel like, well, if you'd asked me a couple weeks ago, I thought Arthur Smith is probably safe in his job. When you lose to the Carolina Panthers, things tend to change a little bit. And those comments by Arthur Blank earlier this week of, yeah, we're committed to Arthur Smith through the end of the season. And it's like, okay. That's like the old dreaded vote of confidence that you get from your general manager.
No, it's that, because like he said, he had every opportunity. I mean, Jeff Schultz wrote a column for us, which basically said the same thing. Like, it could get bad. Basically, like, he could be out. It's possible. I think he's coaching for his job right now. I mean, I guess my question is, can he still save it? Now, I mean, if they win the division, which is still possible, then I would think so, right? I mean, that's a big save. But there's just a lot of stuff going on there that's been and I think the biggest thing, and Jeff wrote this, the biggest thing is that he did participate in the choosing of Desmond Ridder, and it's a bad choice. He's bad.
He's not
a bad quarterback. If Arthur Smith gets fired, that's a quarterback getting a guy fired. Because if you just don't commit ghastly turnovers in the red zone over and over again, you're winning the AFC South this year.
The one he had on Sunday was just brutal.
Unbelievable.
Just brutal, an interception that he threw in that game. And like I said, you lose the Carolina Panthers, then ideas start to get rolling. Look, you know, Tampa Bay right now is winning that division. You know, New Orleans is 7-7. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see who wins that down the stretch here. But I do think if they get left out, that he's probably going to be fired. And then we can get into, Joe, Arthur Smith is out there. He's available. Should Vrabel and the Titans bring him back in? Which I know you and Jared had a very passionate discussion about yesterday.
Yeah, and Jared, shockingly, I know, had a bad take, which is like basically, yes, bring him in. I'm a quick, easy no. And I understand some people will argue with me, and that's fine. I'm not saying it's like not, I mean, I'm not saying it's not a worthwhile discussion or consideration, but it's, they just changed to a totally different offense. They changed away from the modern West Coast to the, I guess, the modern, you know, Patriots offense. It's a different offense. It's different terminology. It's, you've got, you have to keep going with what you have for Will Levis. And we did have this. I kind of put this into discussion. I will admit that if you gave me exactly the same situation, exactly the same personnel and everything else, and you said the only question is, are you putting Arthur Smith in that with that personnel? You're starting fresh, or are you putting Tim Kelly? I'll pick Arthur Smith. I mean, I've seen him do more as an OC than Kelly so far, but that's not the situation. I mean, Arthur Smith right now doesn't look like an offensive genius either, does he? Not even remotely like one. He looked like one in 2020 with the Tennessee Titans as OC with fantastic personnel. He doesn't look like one now. And I think Tim Kelly is fine, and I think they need to go forward. And I mean, the idea of firing him now and saying, come on in, Arthur, and just let's reinstall that offense, I think would be silly. I don't think it'll be considered. I understand it'll be discussed.
Can Arthur Smith block? Is he a blocker?
He was a grinder, right? He was an offensive lineman in college.
Yeah, man.
I mean, honestly, he probably, there's probably some reps at left tackle he could have done better than some that we saw this year.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the Philadelphia Flyers. Be the first caller, 615-737-1025, our phone number. If you guess a goal scorer for the Predators tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And a shot at a score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. Call 615-737-1025 now. Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they are preferred so often. It's Pick to Click now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Presented by TJ Anderson Homes, the Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the Philadelphia Flyers. Puck drop 6 o'clock, pregame 5 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3 the game. The standings are as follows in the competition. No change from last time out. Listeners in first place with 8 correct answers. Joe Rex Road in second with 7 correct answers. Nick Kieser in third with 5. And I remain at 2, which I've been at, according to Nick Kieser, since November the 9th. So we'll see if that changes heading into tonight's contest with the Flyers. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in April. April, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click for the Nashville Predators?
Good morning. I'm going to go with the glorious, I'm using that reference for Joe, Philip Forsberg. Oh.
Thank you, April. Appreciate you calling in.
Have a good day.
Good Forsberg trolling. And a glorious reference in there. That was well done by April.
I don't think April even likes the song Glorious Domination, but I think that she just likes to troll me about it.
I'm here for it. I think she should continue doing that. Forsberg off the board. Nick Kieser, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
All right. He is having his father for the first time on the father's trip. Give me Luke Evangelista in tonight's game against the Philadelphia Flyers.
Wow. Going Luke Evangelista. I like it. Joe, I will go with Ryan O'Reilly. Apologies to Ryan O'Reilly. Forsberg, Evangelista, O'Reilly off the board. Your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
By the way, Evangelista, what's his name? Vincenzo Cutlets? What's his little nickname there?
Pretty Boy Vincenzo or something like that?
Pretty Boy, yes. Vincenzo, right? Yeah, who came up with that?
It's an old gamer tag of his, apparently.
Okay. All right. Well, back to my pick. Well, I'll just go with the same line, okay? It's like, how about Nyquist gets one?
Gus Nyquist. I like it. Forsberg, Evangelista, O'Reilly, Nyquist. the selections and Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. If you missed their interview earlier with Predators head coach Andrew Burnett, you can check it out. Robbie and Rex Road, wherever you search your podcast, Apple, Spotify, and download that interview. Really enjoyed having him on the program earlier in the show today. Joe, final thoughts on the Tannehill discussion we were just having a minute ago. If he gets in there Sunday, and by the way, they did confirm yesterday that if Levis can't go, it will be Tannehill starting on Sunday against the Seahawks. So not a huge surprise there. What did you make of what Charles had to say in terms of like what Tannehill has to prove here? Like getting back, getting healthy. You know, can he play at a reasonably high level? Can he move around? Those sorts of things. You know, the mobility part of it as well. What do you think is actually on the line for Tannehill if he gets in there and plays on Sunday against the Seahawks?
Well, first of all, any GM who's going to base the evaluate, you know, the idea of signing him on like his production, however long he plays, and I think it'll be the last 3 weeks, to me, it's, you know, not paying attention to how bad this offense is. But it's an interesting point about kind of showing that you've got that mobility. Tannehill can run around. Tannehill, that's an asset for him. It's a great contrast to the heavy-footed Joe Flacco.
Yes.
You know, I mean, Tannehill is not one of those guys. He's not a statue, and his athleticism has been a benefit to him, and that's – so I think that's maybe Tannehill should go ask Tim Kelly about a little, you know, a little bit of QB power, some QB draws, you know. I mean, honestly, if I'm a QB in this offense, I think I might prefer designed runs to like trying to, drop back into a pocket that I know is made of quicksand.
Yeah, at least you can see where they're coming from then. Like, oh, he's trying to tackle me. Okay. I'm going to try to dodge him.
Yeah. And, you know, you can just go out there and you can slide. Show Levis how to slide. Well, you could.
Well, Tannehill didn't know how to slide either.
Well, yeah, that's true. He's had a few, but, you know, he has done it some.
Yes.
I mean, Levis got to worry about that. You know, the whole, if Levis can't go, I mean, I'm telling you, I just went 99.99% that Tannehill is going to be somewhere else, and I'm 99.9999% that Tannehill starts Sunday and plays against Seattle. I mean, there's no way Levis is ready. I mean,
the high ankle sprain, which doesn't mean what it used to mean, apparently.
Yeah, high ankle sprain. If it's actually a high ankle sprain, then he's out for the year. He's done. But I don't know. He's walking around yesterday, so I guess anything that's an ankle sprain but it's like an inch higher, I don't know. The term high ankle sprain used to basically mean 4 to 6 weeks.
We're gonna see a Malik Willis package on Sunday against the Seahawks. You know, they've thrown in a few packages. They've resulted in a few fumbles too. I wonder if we'll see one.
I mean, I would think about it if I was Tim Kelly. If he's gonna be active, he's your QB too. Why not? Why not try a few different things in there? I mean,
because every time you do, they fumble the ball.
Well, yeah, that's true. Aaron Brewer like doesn't like him. He sees him. And he's like, hey, I'm gonna snap it over his head.
Yeah,
send one to the third row. But yeah, maybe some Willis. I mean, I guess there's still people debating like whether it should be Willis or Tannehill. I think we're of the same mind on that one. I mean, I think Tannehill was always going to be the choice if you're trying to win. You're trying to win a football game, whether you like it or not, Titans fans. Kindly shut up,
yes,
as some people like to tell you. Kindly shut up, okay?
Ben on the text line, does Joe know what a gamer tag is? Rex Road, are you familiar with the term?
I'm assuming like that's like your name on your little – PlayStation or whatever. Is that what that is?
That's very good. Yes, by you. Way to go.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Nicely done.
By the way, April says, Joe, it's not a song I listen to, but I like it, the Preds game. And I do like trolling you. I'm not a mean, crazy troll like those crazies on social media. And she loves her show. Have a great day. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Same to you, April. We appreciate you. And I don't want you to get a point because I'm in a serious race with the listeners here, but we appreciate you.
We appreciate all of you. And like I said earlier, I'm out of the race. I mean, I'm done in Preds Pick to Click. We're not even halfway through the year, and I'm just eliminated from the competition. You know, when you've won it 2 years in a row like I have, Sometimes you just gotta allow other people to win every now and then.
You won it 2 years in a row?
Yeah, bro.
Wow. Well, that's I didn't realize that. Well, I'm glad you stink this year. By the way, big fantasy football semifinals. So if you're not in the semis of the Robbie Rex Show Fantasy League, I can't relate to you. So, and I'm Coy and Clarksville's going down this week.
Oh, Coy and Clarksville, a nice matchup this weekend. I'm pulling for Coy.
Well, I'm sure you are. But we got into an argument with Coy yesterday on the text. What was he screaming about? He was mad about something.
People get mad at us all the time. I don't know. Were people mad about Jim Schwartz yesterday?
Well, I think, Coy's a big. Schwartz was the real DD coordinator, and Vrabel needs to be fired. Is that right, Coy?
Well, Kevin was that for sure on the text line yesterday. I'm glad we made it the whole show without somebody talking about Jim Schwartz, because I had enough of that at the end of the show yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry for bringing it up.
It's okay.
You said that we can't talk about it, and I brought it up on my own today. I'm sorry.
That does it for us.
He who shall not be named.
That's right. He's Voldemort. That does it for us on Robbie and Rex Road today. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Jason Big Joe up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.